And when we started this class, we had it all mapped out how it was going to go, and then somebody had a change. And I actually only ended up being able to teach the class 3 times out of 13 sessions. And I'm going to say that it was fun. This class was, I always enjoy, there's a couple things that are more enjoyable than others, and baptisms and weddings are the fun ones. The funerals are hard, but baptisms and weddings are fun. And this class was especially fun. They were very interactive. They were very engaged. They didn't always do their lessons like they were supposed to, but they were very engaged when it came to the discussion. And I don't think I got through the lesson once with this class. And I think Curtis and Harley commented the same thing. And I'm excited this morning for you, Eva, Chelsea, Brittany, Wynn, Austin, and Jameson. Today is a very important day for you. And it's a day that you confirm something you've already done, and that is confessing your love for Jesus, confessing a commitment that you've made to everybody here this morning. And I'm pretty sure that when I get done, none of you are going to remember a thing I said. But there's a few things I do want you to remember, and I'll tell you what that is at the end. There's 4 things that have brought you to this place. The first was your parents in teaching you and in bringing you to a place where you heard the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. The second one that happens when we have faith and when we hear, we believe. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And the 2 most important parts of that are repentance and confession. Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then in Matthew 10, verses 32 to 33, says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And I wrestled with this message this morning because it is a message that it's simple. It's a very simple message. And it's almost so simple sometimes that we try to complicate it. Gary said last night that the short messages are the hardest. They are. The simple messages are just as hard. Because we want something new and we want something exciting. And the gospel is always new and it is always exciting. And you as young people, I'm letting your parents and your friends listen in because they need to hear it too. But one of the things that we talked about in one of the very first lessons was understanding this commitment today. And as a young person, there's a lot of things that you don't understand. And you know what? At my age, there's a lot of things I don't understand. So that's life. That's life. That's what faith is about. Faith is about accepting what I know and acting on what I know, even sometimes when I don't understand fully why. Someone said, the purpose of the cross is God's offer of life. Baptism is our acceptance of that. And I think that is a good thing for us because we need to acknowledge, we need to show, we need to make a commitment. And we'll talk about that contract in a minute. In 1 Peter 3, verses 18 to 21, and I ask myself the question, this week as I thought about this message this morning is, why baptism? Why is baptism a big deal? Peter says, and I'm going to read a couple extra verses here because verse 21 is what I want to put out here. But there's a couple other verses that go with verse 21. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So there's two types of baptisms. There's baptism with water, and there's a baptism of the Spirit. And Peter here is talking to a group of people who were scattered. They had been chased out of their homes. And the authorities were pressuring them to renounce Jesus. And they said, no, we're not going to. And Peter says this symbol, just like a contract, spells out the details of a fulfilled life in Christ. It will remind you of what you have done publicly when you are pressured to do wrong. This symbol does not wash away the dirt or take away your sin, but it reminds you, when you think about that, I made this commitment to God before all these people this morning, and I'm going to remain faithful. There's a couple other things that I thought of as I thought of the question, why is baptism so important? And we have Jesus' example. When Jesus came into the city and he met with John the Baptist, and he went to John and he said, I want you to baptize me. And John said, I'm not worthy to do that. And Jesus said, no, I need you to do this because I need to identify with the people that I have come to save. The other thing is, Jesus left us a command in Matthew 28. He said, go out and baptize, teaching everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So not only did Jesus give us the example, but he gave us a command. And that command was to go out and take the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In the version that I use there, it says, let nothing move you. I think in King James, it says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourself always to the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And I want you to think about that word, faithful. How can you be faithful? How can you, as young people, be faithful? Your parents are responsible for you right now. There will come a day when you will be adults. You'll be like Carter. You're going to graduate, and all of a sudden being an adult will scare you to death. It's okay. I've been an adult for a long time, and it scares me to death sometimes. But we are called to be faithful. In this contract that you are making this morning with God, there's four things that I want you to think about. The details of keeping that contract and how to fulfill it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You should make it a habit to read your Bible every day. Now, when I say that, I don't want to put you on a guilt trip, and if you skip a day or miss a day, that you feel guilty about it. But all of a sudden, if you find that you're not reading your Bible, I want you to think about it. I want you to think about how important that is. It is important to read your Bible regularly, and it's important to have a time set aside to do it. You know, I've spent the last 10 weeks not allowed to do anything. Well, not allowed to do much. And I thought it was going to be much easier to read my Bible. And you know what? Some days I get up and I don't feel like doing it. And honestly, there's a few days when I haven't done it. Because it's not something that's real easy to do. So we need to make habits. We need to develop habits where it becomes a habit for us to read our Bibles. Now, if you're a person that hears better than reads, that's fine. I like my book. I like to read. Phyllis, she likes to listen to it. And we're different. But it's okay because we need to develop a habit of listening and hearing God's word. Sometimes people say, I don't get anything out of it. That's fine. Just read it. Because the more you do it, the more you will get from it. I will tell you that I don't even remember when I started, but it's probably been about 20 years ago that I made it a habit and a goal to read my Bible through every year. And I've been able to do that probably at least 20 years. Now, it's not always easy. But when I do that, there's times I'm reading along, and some mornings I'm in cruise control, and I'm just reading, and all of a sudden, boom. Oh, I didn't see that before. And God speaks to me that way. But if I don't read it, God's probably not going to speak to me. And so I've tried very hard to make that a habit. Satan doesn't want you to do that, and he'll give you distractions, and you have to fight back against that. The second thing that I want to challenge you with in this contract is to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, don't just pray when you have a hard test in school. Pray all the time. Paul says pray continually, and he's talking about an attitude that we should have to acknowledge our dependence on God. We should always live in an attitude where we are depending on God for every move that we make. The third one is love your enemies. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That one sometimes is harder to do, but it's a command that Jesus gave us. The fourth one is always be part of a church and support it regularly. Hebrews 10 verses 24 to 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. We need each other to be accountable. We have a friend, it's actually a relative of Phyllis's, that married a girl who is legally blind. And she can only see shapes. She can't see people. And she has learned to walk from her house to her in-law's house. And somebody asked her one day, how can you do that? Because you can't see. And she said, I know what time of the day it is, and I always know where the sun should be at that time. And I know where it should be on my body. And I am sensitive to where the sun is. And I'm always aware of that. And I know exactly where I'm at. And I know exactly where I'm going. Keep your eyes on the sun. The sun is Jesus Christ in this case. The last one is help others who are needy. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Yesterday, as I was doing some errands, I was listening to I had the radio on, and I was kind of listening, and GNN, the story of Squanto, was on. And something stood out to me in that story. He had been taken to England as a slave, and he was introduced to the Church of England's priest. And the priest was trying to describe God to him, and he used this illustration. He said, God is big enough to cover the whole universe and yet small enough to fit in your heart. Always remember that. God is big enough to cover the universe, but he's small enough and he cares enough to fit in your heart. And if you allow him to do that, if you allow him to continue to stay there, he will be faithful. You all know that recently I had to have my heart worked on. Now, what do you think would have happened had I just told the doctors, you know what, we'll deal with that later. Let's not worry about that right now. What are some things that could have happened? Could have died. I could have got sicker. And why is that so important to pay attention to that? Well, when your blood flow is restricted, what happens? Any ideas? No idea. When your blood flow is restricted, it affects all your organs. Your organs need a certain amount of blood to function properly. Your brain needs a certain amount of blood to function properly. So there's a couple things that can happen. You can compromise your organs, and your body can go into other failures. If you compromise the blood flow to your brain, it can cause mental impairment. Now, some people would argue maybe that already happened. I don't know. But if your blood doesn't get the proper oxygen and your brain doesn't get the proper blood flow, you can't function. It's the same thing as a Christian. We need each other. We need God to take us through that. The same thing happens when we don't spend time in prayer, when we don't spend time in the Word. We compromise our spiritual lives. So this morning, if you don't remember anything else I said, I want you to remember four things. Number one, study God's Word. Number two, pray. Number three, always be an active part of a church. And number four, help others who are needy. Those are four things that you can remember, and they will help you to remain faithful as you grow into adulthood, and as you form your own lives outside of where your parents are now. And I just want to tell you that I'm really excited this morning to see you as a class make this move, see you as a group. Always remember this day. This is not the most important day. The most important day is when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. But today, you're driving a stake in the ground and saying, when Satan comes to you, you can look at it. You're going to get a certificate with the date on it. You can pull that certificate out and say, Satan, right here, this is the day that I confirmed my contract with Jesus Christ. And you're not going to change it for me. Always be faithful. God bless you.
As Dale was sharing that, I believe we talked about this one time in one of our classes, that just because you get baptized today doesn't mean that you won't fail again or that you would need baptized again. And I think if you looked, and I was thinking about this week a little bit, and if that would happen, we'd be pretty busy. And I think you could probably look at, I picked on Sam because I think he's one of the oldest here. I think he's the oldest, but I'd hate to say for sure. But if it meant that being perfect after you were baptized, he'd probably say he'd have to get baptized with you again today. And I know all of us would. But today is an exciting, I know you're excited, and one of you said you're nervous, and it's okay. I'm nervous too, so we'll just all be nervous together. How about that? But as I was thinking about the excitement, you know, you're not the only one that is excited today. Your parents and are just as excited, your grandparents, and I believe everyone's sitting here. And there was a verse that kept going through my mind this week, and that's in John. In 3 John chapter 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And this morning, for your parents, your grandparents, and the church family here to see you make the decision to walk in the truth and to make a commitment that you're going to stand for God is exciting for each one. So we're all excited with you this morning. So we'll go ahead. We'll go ahead if you want to come up, if you want to stand in line here. And they each have a statement, so we'll let you go ahead and give your statements at this time. So.
When I was 6 years old, I made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Although I didn't fully understand what it meant to completely follow Him, I have learned many things along the way, including turning everything over into God's hands. I believe Jesus died for my sins and that I'm going to heaven because of that sacrifice. I believe my baptism symbolizes my commitment to Christ, and I want to make that commitment public. I believe and hope that my life today reflects the change Christ has made in me.
I became a Christian when I was 9. The reason I became a Christian is because I believed in God and I wanted to be saved. I am very thankful that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I'm happy to be baptized today.
What being baptized means to me is showing others that I have become a Christian. I also believe getting baptized is another way to obey God. What being a Christian means to me is showing Christ's unconditional love to others because He gave His life so we could have eternal life. The verse Proverbs 28:1 has really stuck with me since we learned it in school. It says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." The reason I like this verse is because it taught me not to flee when something seems hard. God doesn't want us to flee from the things He wants us to do. He wants us to be bold and courageous with God's With God's strength, I want to be bold and resist the devil's temptations. I want to ask you as a church to pray for me as I strive to have a deeper relationship with God.
Thankful that Jesus came to in my heart. I'm glad that God is in my life. I'm glad Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm so glad. I can't do it.
It's okay. Just take your time. You're all right.
So I could have eternal life in heaven.
I entered Jesus in my heart at the communion day when I was having a track of the when Pastor Dale was reading, and I stopped at one verse that said, it was at Exodus 20, And the verses 2-3. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of the Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And I believe that Jesus have died for my sins, and Jesus for me is like a friend, like an old wise brother, and God is for me like a heavenly father that wants to take care of me and help me with my life to and save me from all like dangerous. And in these days, my life changed than it was before. Now my prayers are real, and it does not feel like I am saying this saying or like a poem. And I'm trying to be nicer and more lovable. At least mom told me some like something. At least mom told someone like that, and I see myself more. More faithful.
I became a Christian when I was 6 years old. I love God because He first loved me. I am thankful that He died for me. I am going to be baptized, and I believe that baptism is a sign of inward change. I am excited to be a part of the church family.
All right, it's exciting to hear and to see your decision. So I have 5 questions this morning that I will ask each one of them, and they will respond to. And then after that, there will be a question for the congregation to respond to as well. So if you want to move up just a little closer, maybe. I should have had a mic ready. I didn't think about it. But I'll stand here by the mic so everybody can hear the question, and then each one can respond. Do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God who is the creator and preserver of all things, visible and invisible? Okay. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that He is the only Savior of mankind, that He died upon the cross, He gave Himself a ransom for our sins, that so through Him we might have eternal life? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and He is the abiding Comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth? Have you personally received Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and are you truly sorry for your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and desires? And do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ and His Word and faithfully to abide in the same until death? All right. And each one of you heard their confession this morning. Now to the congregation, you have heard the confession and the promises of these applicants. Are you willing to receive them into the fellowship of this congregation? And do you promise by the grace of God to receive them in love, to encourage them in Christian life, to give them faithful counsel and be true to them in prayer? And if you are willing to do that, can you show that by standing? All right. So you look at that and look at the support you have. Okay. All right. You may be seated, and I'll allow you to be seated while we just while I close up here. And all right. So we'll have prayer here, and then we will go from here down to the river. And for the visitors that are not familiar with the area, if you leave, you'll turn left and go to the crossroads and make a right, and you'll just follow that down. You'll go past, you'll see a fire station on the left, and then you'll see Rocky Springs Church. Just below that is where it crosses the bridge, and you should be able to, there, you can pull in just before the bridge, pull into the left, and it goes down in. There should be plenty of room. If you pull in, you can pull up in under the bridges there, and there should be plenty of room. Maybe leave some of the closer spots for the older ones to be able to pull up close so they don't have to walk so far to get there. So we will plan to go there. We will Brittany and Chelsea have asked for Sam. It's like a grandpa to them, and so they have asked if he would baptize them. And Sam agreed to do that, but he wanted some help to have somebody there with him to get in and out of the water. So we'll start with them when we get there. I'll help Sam get down to the water there, and he will do Brittany and Chelsea, and then we'll do Evan, and then we'll do the boys. So I think that's everything. Hopefully I'm not missing something here. So let's go ahead and stand. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll head on down to the river. So, Father, this morning we are so thankful for your goodness, your forgiveness. And God, this morning as we hear the testimonies of these young men and women to make a choice to stand for you and to live for you and to make that commitment today, it's exciting for each one of us. And God, as we go from here, for each one of us, help us to live and to be examples of you to the world, the people we come in contact with. And so, God, I just thank you again and pray that you would bless each one today and just bless each one of these applicants today as they make this choice and as they move forward in their life to serve you. We just pray that you would bless them and be with each one as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.